Take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 5. We'll be going to quite a few different portions of Scripture this evening, and we hope that you'll be able to turn there also. Title is, How Can I? How Can I? James chapter 5 is where we're going, and verse 10 in just a moment. But how can I, number one, handle suffering? How can I handle suffering? Suffering is a common denominator of life. I would dare say if we could take the time and begin here with Cheryl Wutke at one end and work our way around back to Jim and Dr. Mark and up here to my wife, we could all say there is something that I'm suffering with, even if it's that long-winded pastor. But suffering, no one is immune. Every one of us will suffer regularly. When suffering comes and you seem unable to endure any more pain, be it physical or emotional or even spiritual, remember the words written by the apostle Peter, who said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. And also remember the words of the author of Hebrews when he says, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But James chapter 5, and we'll look at verse 10. James 5, verse 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction. And of what? Patience. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your willingness to go with us when we go through times of suffering, when we sometimes wonder what the future may be. Lord, give us peace of mind. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with our feeling of our infirmities. He knows what it's like, for he himself endured them when he walked here on earth. Jesus is the great physician, and he is able to deliver us. I remember when my mother was put into hospice care, and the hospice nurse was talking to her there at the hospital, and she said, I know I'll be healed. Either here or there. Well, she was healed there. And you know, the fact is that we have something that unbelievers don't have. We have the peace of mind that our Lord is with us during the difficult times. He sympathizes with our suffering, as we have already read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. He understands what we endure because we are, well, we're human. We have issues. He will bring us out of our suffering. I'll turn to Psalm 23. You can turn there also if you wish, but the great 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not what? Want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice he doesn't say he'll remove the enemies. He just simply will be there with us. He doesn't say that he'll remove death. He'll just tell us when we go through that valley, he is there with us. He will restore our souls when we are struggling with life. And so he is the great physician, and he will take us home where there will be no more suffering. Have you ever pondered that as we turn to John chapter 14? What it'll be like not to suffer anymore? What it'll be like not to have the thoughts that go through our minds of disappointment. What a great time that'll be. But Jesus said he's not far away from the cross. And he says to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What an interesting thing. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been invited to one of the arenas or one of the stadiums that has the special boxes where people are able to have all the food they want, and they're up there in the special seats. But you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have special seats. We're going to be near the Lord. He's going to be the center of attention, and we're all going to be close. And what a glorious thought that will be. Number two, moving along, got faith? Got faith? A number of years ago, my wife and I and Brian were out in the state of Oregon, and we were traveling down US 101, and we were going through Lincoln City. Was it Lincoln City? No. It was the other one further south. But we were going through one of the cities there along 101, and we are driving, and there's a billboard, and Cookie Monster is up on the billboard. That caught my attention right off. And it said what? Got milk? You know, there is a company that says got junk, right? Yes. But the thing is, you know, I'd like to work for that company. I always thought that would be neat to go out and clean out houses. Never mind, I'll move along. But you got faith? You got faith? In response to his disciples' request that he increase their faith, Jesus tells them that they need to have faith at least the size of a mustard seed. How big is a mustard seed? Well, it's one of the smallest seeds on earth. And yet, if we just had that type of faith, we could do some amazing things. In another place, Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. But how is your faith tonight? How is your faith? Is God the object of your faith? Or is our faith in health, or wealth, or education? Is our faith genuine? In other words, do your actions declare your faith? Are we willing to step out by faith and do what the Lord has designed for our lives? To step out by faith. It takes courage to step out and come out of our comfort zone. Dr. Raymond Barber, one of my college professors, wrote, faith is the eye that sees the invisible. It is the ear that hears the inaudible. It is the hand that touches the intangible. Are you seeing, hearing, and touching what the Lord has set before us? Unquote. 1 John 5:4 says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I know we live in troubled times. You know how I know? Because I read about it. I was given a 3-month subscription to Time magazine, and every issue talks about the troubles in our society. And I'm not going to say what they say is the prime problem, but you white men are mostly the problem in our society today. But the fact is, faith overcomes the world. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord. See, faith pleases God. It leads to answered prayer. And it opens the gates of heaven. James 1:3 tells us the trial of our faith results in patience. You like to be patient? Any patient people in here? Any of you men patient? I see all these women raising their hand. I'm not a patient person. You know, one thing I have learned is that when I go to the cash register and there's a bunch of cash registers, don't look at any other lines. I don't want to know that somebody got through quicker than I did. See, I don't have the most, I'm not the most patient person. Do you know when you're pulling out of Canada and you're going to go into the U.S. and there's three booths talking to people at their cars? Don't you want to be in the line that's the fastest? Can I tell you this? If you're behind me, don't get in my lane. I always get in the slowest lane. I don't know why that is. But patience. Patience. The trial of your faith will bring praise and glory when Jesus comes. I'll ask you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, if you would, please. And we've seen this in our lessons in 1 Peter. But 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. That the trial of your faith doesn't say if you have trial. It simply says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So we can reduce the size of that verse by saying that the trial of your faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So how's your faith? Let's look at verse 21. Your faith must be in God. Your faith must be in God. Verse 21. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. And we need to acknowledge that all things work together for what? For good, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Not everything is good. And not everything will work out good for everybody. Notice there is something that it says here. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. That's the first thing. And number two, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we need to make sure that we love God and that we want his purpose to be done. Number three, each step you take. Each step you take. Do you remember when you learned how to roller skate? It seems so awkward. Do you remember people laughing at you as you clomped along and you stayed near the wall? Yes. But then there came the time in which you could move away from the wall and you could skate. And then there got to the point when you went around the corners, you could lift the one leg over the other and you went around and you looked like you actually knew what you were doing. Until some little kid skated in front of you and you realized I'm not there yet. My wife has often talked about the fact that her dad was an excellent skater and the two of them would skate together. Do you remember when there used to be that skating rink up here on Van Dyke just south of Hall Road? And she and her dad would go there and skate. Could he skate backwards?
He can skate like a ballroom dancer.
Oh, all over the place, huh? Boy, you didn't marry someone like your dad. You know, the one thing I remember about skating is when you took your skates off and it seemed like your legs were still. Yeah, you remember that. But each step you take, the steps of a good man, Psalm 37:23 says, are ordered by the Lord and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man. Do you want to be a good man, good woman? And let the Lord order your steps. The road of life can be very rough and the way can be treacherous. And sometimes it seems like some people have to endure more than others. But it's good to know that the Lord walks with us when we go these rough ways. But the believer can rest assured that the Lord is leading, guiding, and directing each step we take. Now, some of you have a Fitbit. Did I have the right term there? Or a copy of the Fitbit. And it's recording your steps. I've been with Rudy when he reached that magic step of what, 10,000 steps? And it, you know, sends off a siren or a song or something and vibrating. It lets you know you've reached that point of 10,000 steps. Many times when I'm talking on the phone in the auditorium or in my office, I come out and I walk laps around the auditorium while I'm talking to people on the phone, trying to get in my steps. Not that I have a Fitbit, but you know, you're just trying to get in your steps. Well, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Here is something to ponder. Every step we take takes us closer home. What home am I talking about? Our heavenly home. Every step we take, that's something worth considering, isn't it? That you're closer to heaven today than you were yesterday. Again, a thought from Dr. Raymond Barber. The Lord not only orders my steps, he governs my stops. He leads all the way, be it through the valley of the shadow of death or beside the still waters. If I falter, he picks me up. If I stumble, he steadies me. Unquote. What a blessing it is to have someone like the Lord by our side. The following will help as we journey over the treacherous pathways of life. Number one, God's ways are perfect. Would you take your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22? 2 Samuel chapter 22, and we'll look at verse 31. God's ways are perfect. You remember reading the story of Noah building the ark? Now, I don't know how difficult it was for him to build it. My dad believed that he did all the work by himself. I don't know that that's true. If you go down to the Creation Museum there in Kentucky, you'll find that they believe that he had a lot of help, that he hired a lot of people. But whatever, as he was building the ark, he was telling people of a coming rain. Did they believe him? I mean, after all, he preached for how many years that it was coming? And finally, it was complete. The animals had come. They'd gone off into the boat, to the ark. The food had been taken in. And Noah and Mrs. Noah and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their three wives went up the ramp and they stood at the door and they waved to the people goodbye. All could have come on. Pastor Stephen was saying that he and his wife are going down to see the ark. One of the things you'll realize when you get to the third level is that God created the ark for a lot more than eight people. It could have held a lot more. Why didn't other people come on the ark? They weren't obedient to the call, were they? They didn't have faith in this God that they had known about. But let's see what Samuel says, verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to them that trust in him. God's ways are perfect. A second, God's ways are prescribed for us as we walk in the path he leads. Amos 3:3 is one of my favorite Old Testament scriptures. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Who should we be walking next to? With the Lord, right? God's ways are prescribed for us as we walk in the path he leads. I have walked back to, well, many waterfalls. I have I have gone across rivers. I have followed many trails. And I've often said the one thing you like on a trail is a marker to let you know you're going in the right way. It's always good to know you're on the right path, right? You ever been looking for something and you're driving in your car when you don't know where it is, you drive faster? Have you ever noticed that? It's like, why do you drive faster? Of course, now people have the gadgets that can tell you where to go. In fact, the car that we just purchased has that ability. You pop in what you want and it will direct you right there. That's kind of nice, isn't it? You don't have to worry about getting lost. Though I do remember, Deb, when we were there in helping Pastor Mel there in Connecticut, and we were wanting to go someplace, and the GPS took us to a place where we had to get on a ferry to go across the river. I'm not sure what that was all about, but we didn't. We went back another way. But God promises to pick us up when we fall. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." Well, when we get back up, it's because the Lord is helping us, because we can't do it in our own strength. He is the one that will direct us. Number four, do not lose hope. Titus 2, do not lose hope. I was talking to one of our church members, and she was talking about the difficult times that we're going through. And I said to her, I said, you lived through World War II. It kind of might tell you who I was talking to, one of our older ladies. And she said, yeah. She goes, I was a teenager. I said, were those difficult days? And she said, yes. See, we're going through difficult days today. There's concerns about health, about the economy. There are just things about what we can do about education and kids being in school, and people are concerned. But do not lose hope. Our hope is in the Lord. Titus 2, beginning at verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. You notice there that we are to be godly in this what? Present world. No matter what's happening in our society, we are still to live godly lives. To live godly lives. Many people today are living under the shadow of shattered dreams, misguided ambitions, vain imaginations, and false hopes. As you have often heard said from behind this pulpit, that the hopes of the Christian is not in the stock market or in Tinseltown or the theaters of Broadway or the halls of Congress or the classrooms of higher learning or the economics of a balanced budget. What is that, a balanced budget? Nor is our hope in a new deal or a better deal or a fair deal or a square deal or even a raw deal. Our hope as a Christian is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the best idea, or the best deal we can ever have. Someday we'll see Christ. Do not lose hope. This blessed hope guarantees you a new body. 1 Corinthians 15, if you would please. 1 Corinthians 15. I'll begin reading at verse 51. A new body. How many of you are in favor of a new body? Well, I tell you what, Now that I'm 67, I didn't realize how good I had it at 47 or 37. What a blessing it was at 27. Yes, but 67, I'm looking forward to that new body. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We find that our blessed hope is a reunion with our loved ones who have gone on before. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let me begin reading to you from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if ye believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In the book of Revelation, chapter 27, we find a new life in God's new heaven. Great days lay ahead for the believer. Great days. In conclusion, point number 5. Life more abundant. John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Can I tell you a secret? If you're making chocolate chip cookies, don't skimp on the chocolate chips, because you want chocolate chips in your chocolate chip cookies, right? Yes. I tell you what. You know when your best time to eat chocolate chip cookies? Shortly after they've come out of the oven. I tell you what. I like it. Life more abundant. Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it matters. It matters. You can find your life only by losing it. We find in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Matthew 10:39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So in other words, we should be willing to give Christ our life and allow him to do with it as he pleases. It's his choice. As we read in Sunday school this morning, we are bought with a price. We're his. And he has the right to do with it as he pleases. We are to identify with Paul, who counted his life as not dear. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. In the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Saved by grace. Aren't we glad that he offers it to us freely? Can you imagine if we had to purchase our salvation? Now, how much would it cost? Would it cost more today than it did 500 years ago? You know, inflation. How much would it cost? What if you only had enough to pay for the salvation of one of your children? What about the others? Well, Christ knew how much it would cost, and he paid it. He paid it with his shed blood. We are to identify with Paul, who counted his life as not dear, and then in conclusion to the conclusion, embrace the hope of eternal life beyond this life. Again, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is where we'll close for this evening. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 19. If this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Life more abundant. There is life in Christ. And we that have this hope have a great possession. Shall we stand together? We'd like to offer a time of invitation. Someone would like to come and pray. We'll give you that opportunity. 470, I have decided to follow Jesus. I hope that you have decided to do that and are following him day by day. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, now you would bless this invitation time. We thank you, Lord, that you were willing and patient with us so that we can be used of you. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.